And we're back, everyone. This is Franco Premier League show. I lost kind of episodes, I'm not gonna lie, and if season three so I lost kind of episodes, I won't lie. I'm joined by my cousin Martin. How are you, man?
Hi everyone, sorry for the shortage of episodes. It's my fault again.
لا it's okay, it's okay. بص يعني انا I'm gonna stop ايه فاهم لان ايه احنا بنكررها كتير, فقول خلاص بقى ايه احنا نريكورد بتسهيلها كده ونشوف بقى ايه هتيجي يا ما تجيش. احنا جربنا نمشي على سكادجول ما عرفناش. فنجرب نوينك الجاست. It's been a rough couple of weeks for you. I mean talking football terms.
Yeah, it has been more than a couple of weeks. Yeah,
this is especially towards the end. Like I feel for you, man. Like it's rough seeing your team in that status. But if that was the wake up call you needed, then I guess maybe this could turn in your favor. I mean, you've seen it. Chelsea was what, 10th when Tuchel came over, and they became Champions League winners, and now they're first in the table. So let me ask you this before we begin the episode, because I want to dedicate this entire episode about Man United, and we'll talk extensively about it. Last time I asked you, you said City will win the league. You still stick by it? Yeah, I will ask you this every episode.
I think City still has the best chance.
I keep going back and forth between City and Chelsea. I keep going back and forth. I will back up my team. Yeah, Habib?
Still a long season ahead, yeah, and you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. We're only, 12 game weeks in? There's still a lot to play for. And there's still, managerial changes, and we'll talk about that later. I think I looked up the stat. This is the highest managerial turnover in November we've ever seen in the league. I think, it's 5 managers? So, and it's bound to be more.
Probably. It's always going to be tough for managers when they're in the relegation zone, especially if you're still coming up. You're kind of scared, or the club is scared to go back down, because if you go back down, there's no telling what's going to happen after. You might just stay there for 10, 15 years. You might come up right away. So it's kind of Yeah, it's kind of any club's nightmare, especially clubs like Norwich, Watford, Newcastle, even, especially nowadays, Newcastle. They have to do it early on, because they can't afford to give more time than they need at this point, especially for Norwich. If Dean Smith can turn it around at Norwich, that would be one of the greatest escapes ever. So it's going to be tough for him.
What I mainly wanted to talk with you about, and I wanted to dedicate this to Man United, and I feel like we are a broken record now. We keep saying this stuff every week, every episode. What was the straw that broke the camel's back? Was it the Watford defeat, or you feel like there are many more underlying causes?
I think,
because it's certainly not that defeat only. There are a lot worse defeats.
It's obviously been building up with the Liverpool defeat and City defeat. Even though City defeat was not on paper as humiliating, but it was on the pitch.
Yeah, it was very embarrassing.
Yeah, it was men versus boys. Really, couldn't really do anything. Couldn't get anything going.
They were treating United like cones, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. It was quite humiliating. Obviously, the Liverpool defeat was also very, very rough. At the end of the day, with how and with how United have been since the start of the season, people were not very optimistic, or fans were not very optimistic about the Liverpool and City games. Even the most optimistic United fan, I think, would have probably seen this coming. So I guess they were more humiliating than expected, but they were still expected defeats. And the performances obviously didn't help Solskjaer's case. It was very, very weak. A very obvious lack of kind of urgency or care, really. And it was a very difficult watch for all United fans. But after the international break, I guess there were rumors going around that Solskjaer is not going to keep going, this is like the manager roulette season. Three teams sacked their managers, or I don't remember, three teams. Villa, Newcastle, and Norwich. So it was kind of expected that amongst all this, Solskjaer is going to be gone. But they gave him another shot. It's been happening since Solskjaer took over. The inconsistencies have been very obvious. You go on a period where you're kind of unplayable, unbeatable. You're scoring 3-4 goals a game, getting clean sheets. You're performing really well. You're kind of dominating games. And then you get in a period where you can't really do anything. Defensively, you're poor. Midfield, you're not really controlling games. Attacking output is low. For the inconsistencies were very apparent, and I think United fans saw it, neutrals saw it. People knew that United were not really going to be, I'm not sure what the word is, but like a force or like someone to be really scared of throughout a season. Unless these were addressed. And a lot of people, including me, didn't think that Solskjaer had it in him to kind of address these problems. There are other issues, obviously. It's not just Solskjaer's fault. But at the end of the day, I feel like that's kind of the first step for changing something and for building a system, for building a proper way of playing that we kind of know what to expect from the team. We kind of know how to expect the team to play. And that's not something we've had with Solskjaer. It's been erratic and random a lot of the times. And obviously, when you as a manager have a period like that, when you're not getting the results, you're not getting the performances, if your players are not individually playing well and they're making silly mistakes, it's kind of, there is no hope for you, really. And there is nothing you can do. You're trying to change things. You're trying to do stuff. You're clutching at straws, but you're conceding any stupid goals. You're conceding easy goals. A lot of missed passes. A lot of just, I don't know. It's just weird. It all went wrong at the same time. And it was kind of unsavable for Solskjaer. And obviously after he got sacked, I think a lot of people still think of him as like a big icon for United. And people do still love him. It just wasn't working out for him as a manager anymore. I think I would be grateful for what he did. He took the club in a pretty tough period. He did well with recruitment. He did well with building a squad up. And I think he definitely left the team better than where he took it from. Let's say it was kind of time for us to move on. There was nothing else he can add, in my opinion. They need the manager, the new manager kind of push was needed. Someone with a clear idea, with a clear philosophy, with a clear system. And according to a lot of reliable sources, I think it's going to be Ranieri coming in, which I think is the best option. available right now.
Me too. Bayamayo. I think
we know his system. We know how he wants to play. We know the pressing.
He's like the father of German coaching. Like Tuchel and Klopp and all these people are like his students.
Yeah, they are. And obviously, it's not going to be easy for him. And it's going to take time for him. 6 months is obviously not really enough time to kind of put your stamp on the team. So I think he can definitely do the job as an interim coach, and I hope that he can use the players. It's kind of going to be difficult for him to work around Ronaldo because he doesn't press as much, and it's tough. It's tough. The squad is not ideal for him, not ideal for the system he wants to play. But I think he can really get the best out of players like McTominay, like Fred, like Bissaka. When I'm hoping that he can put the club in a decent position, so then when we get a permanent manager in the summer, which I'm hoping is Ten Hag or Pochettino, and they seem like the front runners at the moment, then they can be in a good spot. They can be coached properly, which I think is something that's been lacking massively. Pressing as a unit, not just individual pressing. It's not just individual play in general. There needs to be something more. There needs to be understanding, and there needs to be an idea of we need to pass and move. We need to press together. We need to block the passing options. There are a lot of things that have been lacking the last couple of years. And if you want to compete with teams like Chelsea or City or even Liverpool, you can't just compete with individuals' performances. It's not going to work. They all play as a unit, and that's their strongest point. They're not dependent on anyone. Obviously, Liverpool, they have a star player in Salah. City, they have a star player in De Bruyne. But that doesn't mean that without these players, the system will change. It's just there's a system. We get players that fit the system, players that we know are going to work in our system, not just going for players for the sake of quality. And I think when Ranić takes over as a consultant, I think is the position, or a sporting consultant.
I think this is like more important than the actual 6 months managerial interim job he's going to have.
I think this is kind of ideal, really. This is exactly what we needed. We needed someone with experience to come in and kind of steady the ship a bit.
Because, let's be honest. No one on your board knows who is going to be the manager in after 6 months. No one even has the idea or knows who's the best person to take the ship. From Joel Glazer to Ed Woodward to anyone, really. I don't even think they knew who Ralf Rangnick is before the fans called for him. And as sad as it is, I think this is the first move that they have done that was in the right direction, probably since the transfer window.
I mean, I'm hoping it's official by tomorrow. It looks pretty much.
It's pretty much official at this point.
But I'm hoping nothing wrong happens. If it does, which I'm assuming it will, I think it's pretty much it's kind of you can't really. This is the ideal decision. This is the perfect decision. It makes sense on all grounds. Him as an interim manager, I think he's going to do well. He has the experience, he has the personality, he has everything to kind of be able to continue the season and at least get some success out of it. Obviously, there are no huge expectations for him. I think top four and then a decent Champions League run would be sufficient. Obviously, the more important thing is the development of the squad, development of the system. And I'm hoping that Rangnick, when after he steps aside as manager, I'm hoping he will have a say in who comes in because he would have had 6 months with the team and he'd understand the weaknesses, the strength, the kind of manager that would work. And I trust someone with his experience and with his brain, really, with a footballing brain, to make the right decisions as manager and as consultant.
Well, we've had this conversation on the group chat. I'm not sure if you saw it or not. We kind of disagreed, like, collectively. But I want to take your opinion as well. Because Ralf Rangnick plays really, really high up pressing. I personally think your squad is ready for that. I believe that your squad is, like, borderline perfect for what Ralf Rangnick is going to try to implement. But I think other opinions I've heard was like, no, because your squad, some of your players are a bit older, so they don't press as high as much. I feel like it's borderline perfect for, especially for players like Donny van de Beek, Fred, Bruno, Sancho, Rashi. All those players, like, pretty much made a career out of pressing opponents really, really up high and making them make mistakes and scoring goals or assisting goals.
I think obviously the clear problem is going to be how to work around Ronaldo's pressing. I don't know if he's going to ask him to press more. If he's going to ask,
he can't
him
press
to
for
more.
Shit.
Yeah, I mean, he does press kind of on intervals, but it doesn't go anywhere because it's not about just pressing with intensity. It's about pressing with intensity together. And if you don't press with other people around you to block the other passing options, it's just no point. You're just wasting your time and wasting your effort. I feel like a lot of, I feel like most of our starting team is very youthful. They have a lot of energy. I'm not sure who's going to play, but so you got McTominay, Fred, Van de Beek, Bruno, Rashford, Sancho, Greenwood. These are all young players. These are all players who provide a lot of energy, especially McTominay, Fred, Bruno, and Van de Beek. And I think he can really get the best out of McTominay and Fred because they do provide the energy. The problem is kind of the awareness and the positioning of the surroundings. And to be honest, I know they get a lot of stick, but the team doesn't help them either. The back line doesn't push up as much as they need to. There's just a clear lack of organization. There's a clear lack of instructions on how we're supposed to act, who's supposed to take which part of the field. Even if you have Conte there, or even if you have whoever it is, whatever CDM there is, they can't just handle all of that by themselves. They need a whole unit to work together properly. Yeah. For them to be able to do their jobs. And I understand McTominay and Fred, they're not really out-and-out CDMs. But at the same time...
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't. You don't work collectively. Like, in a way, I feel for Maguire, man. Like, how could have his career gone differently had he gone to Man City? We would have probably been saying the same thing about Ruben Diaz right now.
I mean, obviously, the team around you and how you're being utilized as a player is massively important because, yes, quality players have quality and players.
It has to match up. Yeah, exactly. It has to match up system.
But you can't just take some quality and push it in a team and expect it to work without kind of making the team work around them as well, making sure that they're actually part of the system. And it's happening with PSG now as well. It's kind of Pochettino has to compensate for his three attackers not coming back to defend, which is just playing very defensive because if they don't and if they try to press the front three are not gonna press properly, they're gonna leave gaps and then especially when playing against a big opposition, they're gonna punish you a lot and quite easily. It's not just about the quality or the names or the team sheet, because it doesn't matter if they're not implemented properly in a team and in a system and the unit that works. And Maguire obviously would benefit a lot from Varane beside him, and he has played better with Varane beside him because they kind of complement each other. And Varane's absence has been pretty huge for us. But at the same time, he's not the quickest defender. Playing with a high line and not being able to press properly, he's not going to be able to kind of catch players running behind them. If you don't press properly, and if your whole plan is we're going to press and we're going to have a high line, then if you don't do it right, and then obviously your defense is going to be exposed, and it doesn't take a genius to understand that. And with Maguire, he's not going to, most of the time, he's not going to be able to catch up to the quick attackers. He's not going to be able to catch up with the quick turns. If I either press properly and know when to press, and everyone understands their role in the team, or you play a low block, which sometimes we've been doing, and Solskjaer has been doing when he's playing against tougher teams or in tougher games. He just stays back, especially with Ronaldo's kind of lack of pressing. And you just hope for the best. You absorb pressure, and you hope your defense can stay solid. But see, that's just not the way a team can compete for the big trophies, Yanni. So I'm hoping Rangnick, he looks like he has a strong personality. He looks like he has a strong system that he's going to apply. Regardless of who you play, regardless of the opposition, we're going to try to control the team. We're gonna control the game, and we're going to try to dominate the teams against us. We're going to play our way, regardless of who we're playing. And that's something you see with Guardiola, you see with Klopp, you see with Tuchel. Maybe a bit less with Tuchel. Tuchel is a bit more dynamic, but with Klopp and Guardiola, they have these systems that they're going to use regardless. And yeah. It works because the players are, yani, it's kind of stuck in their heads. This is how I'm supposed to play, and this is what I'm supposed to do. This is my role in the team. I know what I need to do, and I know what to expect from the players around me. And it took some time, and it was gonna take some time for any manager to implement something like that, such a strong system. But so that's what we need to do. That's what we, yani, at least start doing. We need to put ourselves on the right track, understand that, be able to compete in modern day football. You have to be a step ahead. You have to go on the front foot, and you have to press. If you don't press, and if you don't press as a unit, then pretty much you have no chance at competing with the bigger teams. You'll get your top four, you'll get your quarterfinals in the Champions League, but there's nothing after that.
The thing, you're at a point now, I feel like your board will be extremely happy with a quarterfinals appearance or a semifinals appearance. Like,
I know, and I'm glad that at least we're showing some ambition with Rangnick, and hopefully with Ten Hag, because they're very strong coaches. They're not gonna sit back against a City or Liverpool or Chelsea and absorb pressure and play on counterattacks. They're gonna want to play their way every game, and that's something I really respect in a manager. And that's why I'm hoping for someone like a Ten Hag, someone like a Pochettino. I guess Pochettino with Spurs, some games he had to kind of step back a bit, understand the gap in quality. But with United, you have a squad strong enough to be able to compete with these
more than enough
tougher teams. It just needs to be coached properly. They need to be drilled, understand, and Rangnick seems like an ideal manager to do that, and kind of, be a presence in the dressing room. And you learn and watch the videos and watch what's happening, watch what's going wrong. There's a lot of things that have been going wrong consistently. Goals we've been conceding that look pretty much the exact same. Mistakes we've been making, whether with overlapping or with kind of defending the width. a lot of things. It's gonna take more than one episode of a podcast to explain.
But, it's a whole series.
Someone needs to acknowledge. Someone needs to see that, watch games back, and understand. Okay, we need to address this because this has been happening consistently. This is not a problem with individuals. This is a problem with the coaching. We need to understand that when there's a low cross, someone needs to step back and take the defender. Someone needs to cover the front post. Someone needs to cover the back post. If we're conceding these kind of goals every game, we're gonna have no chance. We can score, but we can't concede two or three goals every game. That's just not gonna work. No big team can afford that.
And here's the thing, I feel towards the end of Solskjaer's tenure, you had with you, when you were successful, so at last season or when Project Restart happened, you were playing pretty much simplest key. And I felt like even when you had magnificent wins, that 4-1, I think was it? Yeah, 4-1 at the London Stadium. Those two wins over Leeds, they were kind of underwhelming when you want. And I'm not trying to take anything away, from these wins, because at the end of the day, it was a huge margin wins. But يعني تيجي تتفرج على يعني that 4-0 against Chelsea. That 4-1 against West Ham, what was it, 6-2 against Leeds or 5-1 against Leeds? They were kind of the scoreline kind of flattered flattered Solskjaer's team in a way. I don't believe I've seen a game from you where it's damn, they really dominated that. Maybe the Leipzig game. And that one, I believe they fumbled it a bit, when you won 5-0. But see, and this is not me being too harsh. I'm just being honest. When I watch your team, it's how is this team winning with all these scores? Because you weren't overwhelming your oppositions or anything. It would be literally 7 chances and 5 goals scored. Which is huge, really. That just shows efficiency. And then towards the end of Solskjaer's tenure, teams figured out a way to press you up so deep that when you give the ball away, you give it up in front of the goal. We've seen it with Maguire many, many times. We've seen it with Fred many, many times. We've seen it with Luke Shaw this season, who hasn't been really that good. And I believe Bissaka had a good season, actually, believe it or not. I know I give him a lot of stick, but that's only because he's being utilized wrong in that system, in my opinion. And I believe one of the most important things Ranić is gonna bring, and we've seen it with Tuchel after Lampard, and we'll see it with we've seen it also with Ranieri at Watford, and we've seen it also with Dean Smith and Norwich. It's a clean slate. There's a lot of players that are gonna have second chances, because Solskjaer only believed in 13, 14 players, and the rest were never getting any game time. Maybe just the Carabao Cup. We'll see a clean slate for players like Van de Beek, players like Maguire, players like Telles, believe it or not, players like Lingard. It would be a great chance for these players to have a clean slate and just give their all for a new manager. And Martial, of course. But Martial is this one is baffling to me. How much was he brought for? 60, 70 million? And
I think it was 40 million.
Yeah, and we've yet to see anything from that so far. This one boggles my mind. He was really, really highly tipped when he came to Man United. He was
and
one
you
of
can
the
see
best.
Why when he came in and when he was in
that form, Liverpool game,
see
yeah.
The quality. And he had a really good period with Solskjaer, a really good season when he was playing striker, and he was very, very good
حتى
seasons.
دين
And
هندرسون, even دين
well, Dean
هندرسون.
Henderson, I mean, I feel for him, he hasn't really done anything wrong. It's just Gea has been amazing, really, this season. He's
Yeah,
saved us
he's
on
been
multiple
really good.
occasions. And when De Gea is in this kind of form,
I
and
think
regardless of where you are, it's going to be
he's
tough.
saved this season as many penalties as he did his whole career.
Yeah, and it's not just the penalties, it's just like his all-around
His
game
actual performance.
has been a very high level this season. But yeah, I agree with the clean slate. Obviously, we have a lot of players that are going to benefit from that. And what I like about Ranić is he's going to be strict when he needs to. He's not going to hold on to names. He's not going to say, okay, Pogba's our star player, so he has to play or something like that. Or it's okay for him to just lose possession a couple of times. He's going to be strict. He's going to call you
He's
out.
very strict, fair manager. Like, if you don't give your all in training, you're dropped.
It's going to
And
be
that's what you
stricter.
need.
It's going to be... you're going to be expected to do more. It's not just going to be when you're in possession that you're expected to be creative and that's it. You need off the ball is definitely a lot more important than on the ball, because your movement, even if you don't get a touch of the ball, just the movement itself, it makes a whole lot of difference for how a team does.
Stretching
Whether
the
in possession
opposition.
or out of possession.
Yeah.
It's just there needs to be more movement, and that's been a severe lack of movement.
ده ألف به كورة, يعني ده إحنا مش بنجيب حاجة من عندنا, يعني ده بجد ده ألف به كورة.
I'm hoping that Rennie can fix that. I'm hoping he can address that. And if there is anyone who can from the available options, I think he can for sure. I'm just kind of hopeful that it works out at this point. There's a lot of players that have been taken as scapegoats for the failures of our team.
I feel for Fred and Maguire, man. I feel. I mean, the whole team has played like shit, to be fair, in the past couple of weeks.
And people just don't have options. Yani, if Fred is one of his main weaknesses is when he gets the ball with his while he's facing our own net. But he's been deployed as kind of a CDM, and he's getting the ball a lot deeper than he should be expected to. And that's not really a strong point. So
yeah, exactly. He's
why
not
do
a
that?
ball distributor. ليه بتلعبه هنا؟ احنا اتكلمنا في النقطة دي قبل كده.
And at
يعني
some point he's getting scared. Like he's getting scared to show for the ball. If he's under pressure, he kind of just he prefers not to get the ball because he knows that even if he does get the ball or he does well and kind of escape that pressure, there are going to be no options because everyone's being pressed and players are hiding around him and there's no movement of the ball. It's just you pass it. We pass it from De Gea to Maguire or Lindelof or whoever it is. They look for the width. They look for Shaw or
فجأة تلاقي
Saka.
نفسك مزنوق in your own half ومش عارف
Yeah, and
تطلع
then
كورة.
you're in the ideal position to be pressed. You're just getting that triangle that Shaw has to come back, go back to Maguire. Maguire has to pass it again, try the other opposite side. And the middle is just, it's non-existent because there's
We've
no
seen
movement.
it
There's
so
no one coming.
many times. So many times this season.
There's no passing and moving and pass and go and create space and move around. Yani, at least make the other team work for it. Make it difficult to press. And no one is, yani, no team is going to be perfect and they're always going to escape press 100% of the time. But at least make it more difficult, and you make it a challenge. And that's what we asked for in the Liverpool game and the City game and a lot of big games when we understood that there was a clear gap there. Was that, yani, minimum we can do is make it a challenge. Yani, at least do your best, show something, show that there's any kind of improvement, there's any kind of light at the end of the tunnel that these players and this team and this coach of Solskjaer, that they can manage to turn it around in some way. And we've actually been quite fortunate to be in this spot still this season, because a lot of other teams have been dropping points against easier oppositions. We've won games by the يعني by يعني a lot of last minute winners, a lot of comebacks, a lot of
just
hard
by
fought wins.
individual brilliance and shock factor. يعني
يعني it
as
can,
I was
and
saying,
another day we can be fourth in our Champions League group and we can be bottom half in the Premier League. I don't even know where we are in the Premier League at this moment, but
eighth.
it's definitely not, يعني we're not as far as it, as you would expect from a team that's been in our form. And that's because of some clutch moments we had and some bad moments the other teams around us had. So we're kind of fortunate to be still in this position at this point in the season. So I'm hoping and we can build from that. And we still have hope of going up the table in the Premier League, maybe even kind of competing with the cities, with the Chelseas, with the Liverpools. Obviously, they're in a much better spot at this moment than us. They've already had their transitioning period. They've already had their system engraved, whether that's by Guardiola or Klopp for years or by Tuchel for the last year. We're kind of trying to catch up at this moment. But, I mean, at
and
least
also,
the Rania gives us some hope, some ambition, some...
Yeah.
Some
also, like these
idea.
Three teams, yani, these three teams also have something else. They won stuff. They are used to winning. They know what it means to win something. United never really crossed that bridge. Yani, they came. Their biggest moment was the Europa League final. They lost. And what was it on? And the season before when they were in the Europa League, you got knocked out of the semis, no? Was it Sevilla?
Yeah.
And the season before when he knocked out PSG, you got knocked out after, I think, with Bayern, was it?
Barcelona.
Barcelona, yeah. So, these three teams... And here's the thing, because football is really something, right? That one day you're in 10th, the other day you're winning. But
these as
three
you
teams,
said, we've seen
yeah.
that turnaround with Chelsea in
exactly.
a very short amount of time.
That could be Rani again. Here's the thing, you're not shy in quality. If anything, in my opinion, and I told you this so many times, I think you only compete with City in terms of quality to quality in squads. I think
on
you
paper,
have,
yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you probably have the best like quality player to player squad in the league. And if anyone says against that, they're biased, to be honest.
Yeah, City is definitely up there, but I mean, there's no other team sheet that is better.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like if I'm like picking between you and City in team sheets, I think yours is actually more balanced because you have actual strikers.
I don't have CDMs, which is also a big problem.
I don't think City does either, though, because Rodri plays so high up. Same as Gundogan.
And Rodri is kind of a CDM, a proper CDM. They use some other, yani obviously have Fernandinho as well.
And Fernandinho is what, 36, I reckon?
Yeah, but he's still there. Like he can still compete. He can still give them a good amount of games with high level. Obviously, they sometimes play Gundogan there. Sometimes they play it's Guardiola, obviously. So he's gonna mix and match. It's gonna be random. It's kind of like a raffle at some point. But
what should be Ranić's priority in January? Should he focus on getting anyone in, or just focus on getting the best out of the squad he has?
I don't know what the conversation was between Rennick and then the board, and if they're willing to give him any budget, or how much they're gonna give him in January, or if they're just want to stick with the current squad and kind of develop the squad. Obviously, a CDM would be important for us, I don't know if we'd be able to find anyone that we really need that's going to be available in January. It's always going to be tough mid-season. But I think the current squad is enough for Anik to at least put us on the right track, show improvement, show progress. I'm at the point where I just want to see an identity for the team. I just want to see something set in stone. We're going to play with this. We're going to play like this formation with these positions, with these roles. And I've been wanting to see that for so long. And I was hoping that it would work out with Solskjaer. I was hoping he would kind of do his homework and understand the weaknesses, understand the weak spots, and how we're just being so poor at times. It didn't work out, and Ranić is, strict. He's honest. He's fair. From what we've seen, obviously, he hasn't really managed like a club that's full of superstars or high profile players. It's gonna be the first one for him, and you can definitely make an argument that maybe he's kind of the Bielsa, that he's not gonna be good with superstars, he's not gonna be good with high profile players because they're not gonna be listening to instructions as much as he wants to. They're not going to be pressing as much as he wants to. They're just not going to provide what he needs. And I don't know how he's going to react to that. I don't know how he's going to handle Ronaldo. Is he going to expect him to press more? Is he going to expect him to play less minutes? And he's just going to keep it fresh, keep the energy up. I don't know how Ronaldo's going to react to that.
The guy has been coaching for almost 30 years. So he knows a lot about the game. So you're pretty much doing the opposite of what you had with Ole. You had a guy that was gonna just get the best out of the team morally and a club legend, but he doesn't know two shits about tactics and management and stuff like that. You're doing the complete opposite.
When you put him in comparison with you have some of the greatest coaches ever competing with him in the league, his lack of tactical awareness is going to be very obvious.
And you can't really blame him for that. انت رميته في البحر وقلت له يعني انت رميته في البحر وقلت له عم 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 عدي المنش. ما طبيعي يعني ما can't really blame him.
I understand that. But so the thing with Solskjaer is he came in, he had an instant impact, he played much better the first couple months when he came in. He fell down a bit, and then some other period after coming back from the break, we were unstoppable. It was domination after domination.
And restart,
You have the Villa game. You lose against every expectation that you have after dominating games for, I don't know, 10, 12 games, going on an insane run. Then you kind of fall down again. It's been just a roller coaster with Solskjaer. It's kind of, is he going to go back to this? When he goes back to this, is it going to last this time? Is he just not going to be able to get rid of the inconsistency? Is he just not good enough and it's just down to individuals? There's a lot of like questions around him. And I mean, I understand the hesitation because United have brought in a lot of managers after Sir Alex Ferguson, and some they gave them time, some they let them go, maybe a bit too early or prematurely. And they tried different profiles, they tried different kind of managers, they tried a lot of different things. And obviously, I'm not giving the board excuses because they are incompetent, and we need to clarify.
They're not. I mean, they don't know anything about football. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, they are businessmen at the end of the day.
Yeah.
This is kind of a big step in the fact that they're getting a big, strong personality, attacking-minded. not scared of voicing his opinion, not scared of pushing people out, not scared of upsetting superstars. And he's also going to be interacting with the board a lot after the 6 months.
I mean, he's the guy that created Gegen Pressing. I mean,
yeah, he is. And he has been kind of a role model for a lot of the best managers in the world.
I think you described it perfectly when you said Bielsa. Like, yeah, he's pretty much a German Bielsa.
Yeah, I mean, there are going to be doubts about him, how he's going to deal with such big names. But he also has a lot of players willing to learn. He has a lot of young players, has a lot of energetic players. But he's going to have the characters that are not going to be, that's not going to give him as much energy as he needs. Maybe Pogba, Ronaldo, maybe Maguire. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. And it's going to be interesting to see how he deals with that. Because these are players that are going to be very difficult to push out of the team. Maguire is the highest, the most expensive defender in history. He's the captain. There aren't really many other options in his position. Ronaldo, obviously, it's Ronaldo. I don't really need to say anything about him. Pogba has a lot of quality, and he's loved by the fans, or by a big majority of the fans. And everyone understands his quality. He shows it with France. He's shown it in periods with United. It's always been a question about getting the best out of him. It's a question about his attitude, about his mood, about whether he's going to show up or not. And maybe Rene can find a solution for that. And I hope he can, obviously. Maybe that will even convince him to stay and kind of be more consistent. But it's kind of this excitement and this anticipation to...
Yeah. New manager, yeah. New manager fee.
How is he gonna? How? What is he gonna do? Any? It's a lot of kind of the good. Yeah, I'm worried, but in a good way. It's kind of I'm intrigued.
This cautious excitement.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see how what's gonna happen. To be honest, I wanna watch how things develop. And yeah, he is a temporary manager, but so this period is going to be really important for the squad and for the club in general, because they need the coaching for sure. They need some basic coaching.
Let me ask you one final question, and we can end this segment. But what do you think Ollie's tenure will be remembered by? Of course, there were a lot of good moments, I would say, and a lot of bad moments. What do you think is a landmark for his tenure?
I think he's going to be remembered by his signings, most of all. He's been backed by the board and quite extensively. He made a lot of good signings, in my opinion.
Do you think he made them, though? Well, it was just Boris.
I think he made them. I think a lot of them he did. Probably Ronaldo, I don't think he had a say in that. I think other than that, really, there's a lot of good signings that he made. And I think people, there's going to be a lot of arguments about whether Bissaka is a good signing, or whether Maguire is a good signing, or whether Van de Beek was a good signing, Telles, all these guys. And I think for the most part, he has made some good signings. He has improved the squad. He's addressed some issues in the squad, some imbalances and some holes. And to be honest, yeah, he might have overpaid, or I guess the club might have overpaid for some of them. Said on the day that he's not responsible for the finances, he's responsible for picking the players, and finances are not part of his job. If you're looking at players as just signings purely, not as being overpriced or underpriced or whatever it is, he's addressed the right back issue. And I think Bissaka definitely has a good future at United, and I think he just needs to be utilized properly to be able to show his abilities, and I think he will succeed. Maguire is going to be tough. It's going to be tough for him to turn around. His reputation has taken a huge.
I mean, it happened for Rudiger. I can't see why not for Maguire, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, Maguire, he has been, yani, has been letting himself down a bit. He's made some schoolboy mistakes.
But like you remember Rudiger though. Like we tend to forget how bad Rudiger was. Point. Yeah, Rudiger was bad, bro. there was this, I mean, the Sheffield game.
Every defender, really.
Yeah, there was this Sheffield game where he passed it into his own goal. Like managers with good aura could turn a career around. And Rani could be that guy. I don't think it's over for Maguire.
Of defenders. Yeah. That's when you're the most expensive defender and you're English and you play for United, and there's going to be a lot of eyes on you. There's going to be a lot of expectations, a lot of pressure. And obviously, you have to be mature enough, you have to be strong enough to deal with this kind of pressure. And I think there is a chance for him to turn around. It's going to be tough for him because he's got this kind of reputation that he's just a flop or just not good. Whether that's from the media, from the fans, even from some pundits, I'm constantly hearing like Roy Keane or Van der Vaart or just publicly saying he's just bad. And that's tough for any player to deal with, really. He's still at a good age. Maybe he's 27 or 28, and he's got a long road ahead of him. Yeah, to kind of fix that reputation and fix his game. Plus, it needs to be with a team that is functional. And if the team doesn't fix up and the team doesn't function properly, there's no hope for him, really. He's not going to be able to turn around by himself because he's a center back at the end of the day. And even if he plays well and does his job and he tracks well and tackles well, wins aerials, wins duels, the team is probably still going to concede if the unit isn't working. It's about the whole team improving and functioning
once,
properly.
Yeah, once that happens, that boost. I don't think it's over for Maguire. I definitely think he has what it takes to be on that pedestal again. Because we see it with England. With England, he rarely puts a foot wrong. No.
Yeah, I mean, people understand his weaknesses. People understand that he's not Maldini. He's not gonna step every foot right. But at the end of the day, you have the manager and the coaching staff need to understand his weaknesses as well, and need to address them, and need to provide protection for him, or provide the players that can work with him. It can't just be four good defenders, regardless of how they play, regardless of their styles. It's just not gonna work. You have to have defenders that work together as a unit, because that's the main part of defending is working as a unit. But even if he is the best defender to ever step foot on a football pitch, and he doesn't have chemistry with the players around him, with the goalkeeper, it's never gonna work. But it's about that understanding and that system, really, that chemistry. And I'm hoping Granit can provide that, and it can be kind of a turning point for Maguire and for a few other players in the squad as well. I mean, you got, as you said, you got Lingard, you got McTominay, Fred. They've been getting a lot of standard, and Lingard hasn't been getting time. You have youthful players coming up like Sancho, Greenwood, Rashford. They're definitely going to benefit from the high tempo, high intensity football that Granit is going to provide.
Especially Van de Beek. I mean, he's used to that playing under Ten Hag.
I think obviously Van de Beek would be very happy with Rijnick.
Yeah,
and I'm hoping he can بالظبط
I
دي
think ان
يعني
هو كسر ورا اولي اور اولا يعني
يا
هو اكتر
حاليا
واحد مبسوط حاليا.
he scored the last goal for Solskjaer as well.
Yeah, which is very ironic. I think he has the most XG per minute ever for United.
And
In
he had a really good 45 minutes when he came on versus Watford. Yani I hope in some way Rani can kind of use both Bruno and Van de Beek together, because I feel like that would bring, yeah, that would be ideal for us. I don't know if he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it. But as I said, that's that excitement. Yani, you're just waiting to see that the first lineup he's going to use, the first game, how he's going to play. It's good. It's good for the club in general. Like the club needed that.
Definitely, yes. I think one thing I will say for Solskjaer, or actually two things that will come to mind for Solskjaer's tenure. First of all, that PSG game, of course. I mean, yeah, that's out of the question. Second thing I want to give him props for was the discovery of Greenwood. I feel like we are seeing one of the best, if not the best, England striker for the next 10 years or so. The
I
guy,
mean, Bruno signing.
Yeah, and Bruno. Yeah. And Bruno signing. Like, and this is the last question, and we'll end it there. What's next for Ole? Is that it when it comes to management? Well, you think there's something there that he could work on?
I think he needs a break a bit. I think he probably needs to stay unemployed until the new season. And if it was up to me, I would stay away from England at this point. I would go maybe to Spain, maybe not Spain actually, maybe Italy, even France or Germany, or even, I don't know, Portugal, something like that.
The Gerrard way, you go to Scotland again.
Yeah, I guess it's just gonna, he needs to start from the bottom up a bit. He kind of pushed or tried to punch way above his weight from the beginning. And I mean, now he has the time. And obviously, there are a lot of different opinions about Solskjaer as a manager. But if he takes a decent team somewhere else other than England, I think he can definitely use the lesser pressure, the lesser expectations, and actually have the players and have the squad that can really listen to him and listen to his instructions, and that he can put a stamp on in some way. And that's always going to be difficult at United, especially with no experience and with no kind of, I don't know, he's not used to dealing with this kind of pressure. But in another team, I think he can definitely build his way up again, be able to manage a big club at some point. I don't think it's going to take him any less than 3, 4, maybe 5 years be at least in contention to kind of take over at a bigger club. So we'll see. I think he's still got a long road ahead of him. He's still young.
Yeah, me too. I think for like a big management job that he had, I think he did well with everything that went on with the pandemic, with, let's face it, a Man United job, especially with all the advantages that he had, because in my opinion, I don't think United has ever backed a manager this ferociously before. But still, I think Ole has done okay. And I feel for a start, this will be a good start. This will be a good placeholder for him. Only issue is, will he... Because we've seen it with Gerrard, right, and Lampard. Because Lampard now doesn't want to take on a small job. But Gerrard started from small and worked his way up. Let's see what the future holds for Ole. We wish him the best. I mean, he's done well with he's got many Chelsea and City wins. which boggles my mind. We'll see. I think he will be one to watch. I think once he gets his tactical game on, he's a great man manager, and we've seen that. He gets 150% out of those players. I've never seen anything like it, really. These players will die for him on the pitch. Maybe like I'll go as far as Simeone. But I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be okay. All right, we'll leave it here. Thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate it, and sorry for the long hold up, and we'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye bye.